This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Author Paul Durham has a short commute. His writing studio is in the backyard of his Exeter home. Can you describe how it looks?
Sure. This is I call it an abandoned chicken coop because chickens used to live here. It's really an 8 by 12 foot shed with sort of barn-style doors on the front and windows. I have sort of it decorated with a Christmas wreath, and there's my door knocker and the coop sign. And then, go ahead and step in if you want.
Inside, there's white pine walls. The desk is a solid slab of salvaged barnwood stretching from wall to wall, and propping up his computer monitor is a wooden cigar box, which would explain the faint smell of cigar smoke in the air. And on the shelf, beside copies of the books in his Luck Uglies series, is a little stone gargoyle.
I found him at a little curiosity shop up north here in New Hampshire. He's actually sort of the visual inspiration for Penhallow.
Durham's newest novel for young people, The Last Gargoyle, follows Penhallow, a stone creature who can come to life to protect the people who live in the building he's perched on top of. Penhallow likes to insist that he is not a gargoyle, he's a grotesque. Is there a real difference between the two?
Technically, I believe that there is. A gargoyle has an architectural function and a purpose. So it's the idea, it used to be that gargoyles drained water away from rooftops before the advent of gutters and things like that. Grotesques don't necessarily have a water function. So you often find them on, you know, cathedrals and churches and libraries. There's a decorative purpose. And historically, people, you know, there's different competing wisdom as to why grotesques were on top of things like churches. But one of the theories is that they, you know, warded off evil spirits or things like that. So I always found that kind of an interesting concept, the idea of these sort of rather ugly, monstrous, not so pleasant looking things that theoretically are supposed to be serving a useful and helpful function.
So tell me more about Penhallow's character. How did the character of Penhallow come to you? How did he develop?
Yeah, well, Penhallow originally came to me actually when I was first writing my very first book, The Luck Uglies. The first chapter is called The Gargoyle. And in that book, there's all these gargoyles and grotesques on rooftops, and one of them actually moves. Turns out it's not actually a gargoyle. And that sort of planted the seed for me that I thought it would be really interesting to write a book about a gargoyle or a grotesque in this case. And I also thought it would be interesting to write a children's book from something that wasn't a child. So often middle grade books and children's books, for a good reason, feature an 11-year-old, 12-year-old, 13-year-old, whatever it may be. I like the idea of having this old, Penhallow is 135 years old, which is consistent with when grotesques and gargoyles were built here in the United States. And he has sort of an old, cynical way about him, kind of jaded. But at the same time, compared to his European elders, he's rather young. I mean, he's actually quite young compared to European gargoyles and grotesques. And I thought that was interesting because I got to write like sort of a crusty old man, which I am. Maybe not that old, but I'm crusty. But at the same time, I was able to, have him be youth. There's a youth and an experience about him that I thought was made for a really interesting character. And his voice is, I think, he's probably my favorite character I've ever written just because of his voice, and what I was able to sort of do and capture with him. He's a lot of fun. He's a lot of fun to write.
One of the things I liked about him is that he's kind of a Bostonian. I mean, he is in Boston, and he has that sort of, I don't want to say stereotypical, but he has that chip on his shoulder regarding New York gargoyles and some admiration for European French gargoyles.
That's right. Absolutely. Like a Bostonian, he is not a fan of the New York gargoyles. He's pretty much alone here in Boston, whereas in New York, they're all over the place. You can't look up without finding a gargoyle or a grotesque, as he would say, on the rooftops. And yet they take themselves very seriously in New York, and they sort of look down their stone noses at him. And he doesn't appreciate that. He sees himself more of a salt of the earth kind of, just taking care of business type of grotesque.
Penhallow is almost like a protective dog, right? Like he's the one patrolling at night over his, what he calls his wards, the people in his building, protecting them in ways that these people never even find out about. And a lot of these things are things that children are afraid of, like bumps in the night, which he's like, you ever hear some bumps in the night? Never mind, we're not going to get into that, which is a great part. And he has a few other moments like that as well, where he sort of explains the things that children are afraid of. This is for young people. I didn't know if you had in mind all of the things that young people tend to be afraid of, not just the darkness and sounds at night, but also what comes next after death.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Peter. And yeah, absolutely. So the basic stuff, like going down in the basement after dark, and like that sort of old dark laundry room in a building that kids are afraid of. But a big part of this book is the bigger picture of, yeah, what comes next? What's next after, frankly, after you die? Anytime that you write a ghost story or something that's about ghosts, behind the scenes is that inevitable question of, well, what happens after, you know, after you're dead, after you pass away? And I don't want to necessarily give the answer because I don't have the answer. Who has the answer, really? And Penhallow doesn't have the answer. I think at one point he's asked by one of the other characters, well, you know, what happens next? He says, I don't know. I thought you knew. I don't know. I don't know any more than you do what happens next. One of the things I like about Penhallow is that he is a protector, even though he's scary. You know, if you're young or you're a little kid, you're hearing noises in the night, wouldn't it be nice to have this sort of ferocious watchdog just sort of looking over your shoulder that whether you know it or not, he's there keeping an eye on things and you don't have to worry about it. And that's begrudgingly sometimes, but that's what Penhallow does.
You're kind of used to writing in a series, right? You have the Luck Ugly series. Is this the beginning of a new series?
The answer is this is written as a standalone. The way I tend to write a book like this is it could become a series. I think the answer is ultimately the readers will decide. So if enough people fall in love with Penhallow and want to hear more stories about Penhallow, the way the publishing world works is that in all likelihood there'll be more more Last Gargoyle books. But for now, this is a standalone. It's a book I think that people can read and have sort of a full arc and finish and feel fulfilled. But hopefully he leaves you wanting more. That's kind of always my goal as an author.
Well, Paul Durham, thank you very much for speaking with me about The Last Gargoyle and letting me into your writing studio.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks for coming out. It was great to have you.
That's Paul Durham. He's the author of the new novel for young people, The Last Gargoyle, and you can find a list of the top 5 books on Paul's bookshelf at our website, nhpr.org. The Last Gargoyle is not on bookstore shelves yet. It is scheduled to be released on January 9th, which is when he'll have a launch party for it at Water Street Books in Exeter. That's Tuesday, January 9th at 5 o'clock. We are always looking for recommendations from listeners like you. Tell us about the book that you couldn't put down. Our email address is books@nhpr.org. You can also tweet us the recommendation at NHPR Bookshelf. This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you very much for listening.